Welcome to the weekly podcast of Epworth United Methodist Church in Berkeley, California. On New Year's Day, January 1st, 2006, members of the Volunteers and Mission Team spoke about their week's work just completed in Pascagoula, Mississippi, which is still recovering from Hurricanes Katrina and Rita. Team leader Robin Ridenour introduced three speakers: Dr. Annie Relott from the Swedenborgian Church, Janet Parker, a member of the Mill Valley United Methodist Church, and Connie Adachi of Epworth United Methodist Church. The lectionary reading is Matthew chapter 7. Later on in this podcast, a special message concerning the mission to the children of Epworth United Methodist Church from another member of the mission team, Megan Travlos.
One of our spiritual tasks each day was to see God and share the experience during our devotion time in the evening. Team members saw God in the power of nature, in the people we served, in other volunteers from across the United States, and in each other. Three of the team members will be sharing their reflections of their time in Mississippi. That will be Dr. Annie Relott, who comes to us from the Swedenborgian Church, Janet Parker, who's a member of Mill Valley United Methodist Church, and Connie Adachi. We are grateful for the organization and the volunteers at East Lawn United Methodist Church and for the love, support, and prayers of our congregations. Our call is also to remind you that there is much more to be done. Rebuilding the Gulf Coast will continue for years. Perhaps God is calling you to help assist with this vital and rewarding task.
FDR once wrote that the greatness of a nation lies in how it treats those who live in the dawn of life, the twilight of life, and those who live in the shadows of life. Over the years, I found this quotation to be really quite true, even though FDR was a Democrat. There are two particular instances in this last year which I believe this quotation most aptly applies. The first one is when the U.S. Navy ship Mercy sailed into Indonesia. It is a 900-foot ship, 12 operating rooms, and the latest of equipment. But more important than that is all of the people who volunteered. The call went out. They needed 210. 3,000 responded. And the other one is the tragedy in the Southern Gulf. I think that what is important here is not the money, the manual labor, the materials, and all of those things, although they are important, but rather the kindness and the care of the people of this congregation and of all the other congregations and institutions and organizations throughout this country that gave so freely. You gave without a question in your mind nor a doubt in your heart. Kindness and care has neither weight nor mass, neither flesh nor blood. They are spiritual realities that respond to flesh and blood needs. And the flesh and blood actions are experienced as vehicles of kindness and care. I would like to relate one particular instance in which I heard about kindness and care. There was a gentleman named Cordell. He lives directly across the street from the Methodist Church. A huge tree right next to his small business fell on the roof of the business, and the roof came down. He was outside looking at it one day, and a van with Florida plates drove up and asked, "Can we help?" Just responding to the question, he said, "Well, I'd like this tree to be elsewhere." And seven people jumped out of the van, one of them one armed, with a chainsaw, and it was the one-armed guy with the chainsaw. There might be a connection. Who operated the chainsaw, cut up the tree, came back later, and took it all away. He did not know who they were. He just stood there and was amazed. You know, there's an awful lot wrong with this country, but there's also an awful lot that is right. God bless the American people.
And my name is Janet Parker. I'm a high school student, and I live in Mill Valley. And I've always lived in the church, but we live in a very secular community here, even in our churches, compared to the way it is in the South. So it was very amazing to go down there and realize how much God is part of our lives in a way that I hadn't even taken the time to think about it before. Obviously, in the pictures you can see, the power of nature is overwhelming, and the power of man in our buildings is hardly able to stand up to it. And the thing you realize when you go down there is that it really is the people that make it so that they're able to go on. It's not, while it's our whole country, it's really their hope just there, and the community that then is expanded throughout the world and our own country. It really made me realize that you can't build anything, I mean, even just as the scripture said, houses, without realizing that there are more important things like your community and the people that you will live with no matter what happens to your possessions. And I find it extremely hopeful that we were able to help them and help people in the Gulf, because I know that those same people from our community that we've built with them will always remember us and will, if something were to happen here, would come and help us. And I just think that power of people through our hope and through God is just the most amazing thing that we don't realize every day, that when we touch people, that we're building communities that are more important than the buildings that stand around us.
And I'm Connie Adachi, and I'm a member at Epworth here. A lot of you may not know that I'm actually from Virginia, so I'm a native Southerner, sort of, but I've been out here for longer than I lived there. And for most of the folks on the trip, as Janet pointed out, it was our first time to be in the South, and it was really my first time in the Deep South, besides a quick trip to New Orleans, which is a little different from Mississippi. And my focus is going to be on the whole Bible Belt and trying to explain the differences that we were running into because we were in the Bible Belt to the teenagers that were with us who were born and raised in the Bay Area. It's very different. And my first quote is from Rolando. I have many more. You can talk to me later. and Rolando said, "Well, I always thought the Bible Belt was something that kids got punished with." And and I thought, that's not far off. Except it's not just kids. and I found myself, as I usually do, focusing on the people that we were visiting and getting to know and helping out, and they were teaching us and by being there. And so I'm going to be talking about the three individuals that we worked closely with or did their houses for. So the first person is, and we, as Robin already said, we painted and cleaned and repaired his home. And he was living in a FEMA trailer. He was one of the lucky people who was able to get a FEMA trailer. He was actually living just right outside his home, and there's some pictures of that in here, but it's amazing. I mean, there's a lot of FEMA trailers, but the people who don't have a trailer outside, you have to wonder where they are. So he had problems, including depression, and he was eager to go to heaven. He was tired of living here in this world, even though he was only in his mid-50s, and he looked quite a bit older. So that was my takeaway was just his strong belief in God was there, yet he was also just so drawn down by depression that really he didn't want to live here in this time. He wanted to be elsewhere. He wanted to be in heaven now. So that was a challenge with him, among many. The second person was, and she is the individual who we did the drywalling in her home. She had no flood insurance, and she lost much of her wealth she didn't have wealth, but much of her possessions during the Katrina and the Rita storms. But she was able to show unlimited hospitality even still, because she had a second home that was a rental home that she ended up moving back into, and she was able to provide housing for three other families who needed housing, and it was a smaller home than where we were repairing, so probably, I don't know, a 1,200 square foot home. She had four families living in it at that time, and they were waiting for their FEMA trailers or just trying to pull things together, and they were still, as they would be outside or around in the home or in their community, as they would run into people who would need food or need whatever that they might need, they would extend the hand of what they would call the hand of fellowship out to those folks and basically just provide a meal or provide whatever they could, you know, whatever they could give. The third person was, he's in some of the pictures, he was teaching us the drywalling for the second home. And he was very strongly vocal about his faith, and in some negative ways. And one of the things I wanted to mention was just that he felt that God sent Katrina and Rita to punish New Orleans. So God sent Katrina to New Orleans and then didn't finish the job, and then sent Rita to finish the job. That was really very biting for many of us to hear that. He spoke to a couple of people about that. But at the same time, was a crack cocaine addict. And Judy pointed out that he was constantly listening to gospel music all the time. He left for an appointment, and we changed the music because the kids wanted to hear something different. So we put on the radio and to some rock and roll. And as soon as we came back, those CDs were back in there. And he had to have gospel music to keep him focused on God and keep his mind away from the things, you know, from crack cocaine or alcohol or whatever else. So the kind of clinging, you know, to any sort of hope. And he was also basically homeless, living in the church, but he was also spending all of his time volunteering and using his skills to rebuild for other people. My experience on this trip, and I think for many of us, this gave us a chance to see both sides of the Bible Belt, both the part that hurts and the part that can hold up.
I'd now like to invite the children to come up. Happy New Year, everyone. Did you guys stay up all night last night? I have a question for you guys. Has anything bad ever happened to you? Broke your leg. Ugh, that's pretty nasty. Well, when something bad happens to you, does anybody help? When you broke your leg, did somebody help you? I'm glad. So people help you when you get hurt or something bad happens. You know who to go to. What kind of people help? Do your mom and dad help? The doctors at the hospital help you? Yeah. Have you guys heard, I don't know if you guys know, but down in the South, in places like Louisiana and Mississippi, they had a natural disaster. They had a hurricane. Do you guys know what a hurricane is? Yeah, it's a big storm, big winds, and lots of rain. So a lot of their houses have been ruined. Their walls are ruined from the water. There's all sorts of mold, and houses have been blown down. And so this group here in the front row and myself, we went down along with lots and lots of other volunteers from all over America. We went down and went and helped. We went and helped rebuild houses. We learned how to do all sorts of things. It was very exciting. And a lot of the volunteers, we feel like we were called by God to go down and volunteer, to go down and help follow in Jesus' footsteps. Yeah, lots of people lost everything they had. And so there are some people also who maybe can't go down and help the way we did, but lots of people are giving money and giving clothes and donating to help fix those things. I'm sure lots of you guys have had parents who donated things. That's very good. So I just wanted to let you guys know what we did. So lots of the volunteers felt like they were called by God to do this work. So why don't we bow our heads in a word of prayer. You guys can hold hands if you want. Dear God, help us to keep our eyes open for our own chance to help out. Thank you for giving us our hearts so we can care for these people who need our help. Thank you for giving us our hands to do your work, in opening our eyes to see what's needed from us. Guide us to do your work everywhere we are needed. Be with us as we follow in Jesus' footsteps. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you have comments, please send them to epworthberkeley@gmail.com. That's epworthberkeley@gmail.com. The website of Epworth United Methodist Church is www.epworthberkeley.org. That's www.epworthberkeley.org.